Yeah, that was just yours. Get to keep that. Okay. Okay, this morning's topic is about Sibrit Yitzchak Mitzrayim, and in particular, the significance of the fact that Mikra Bikurim seems to play a very significant role within that principal ingredient of the Night of the Seder. So let's begin with the beginning, and we'll see how far we can get through these Makoros. So the Mishnah in Masechet Psachim, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, so everybody's aware, the Mishnah in Arba Psachim really outlines the proceedings for the night of the Haggadah, and Daud Kosos, and the Manishtana, all the different ingredients, they're saying, of Hallel, all the different ingredients are elaborated in that context. And among them is a perspective, the Mishnah says in Psachim Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, that Matcha Begnusa Messiah B'Shevach, that you're supposed to begin by underscoring the difficult straits, difficult past history, humiliating even past history of Klal Yisrael, U'Messayim B'Shevach. And then we complete, we end, right, by projecting, right, the praise of the Rabbonu Shalom and the fact that we have reached a very different stage. That's the contrast between humble beginnings and achieving great stature is part of the story of the evening. And then the Mishnah says, V'doresh me'aram v'yovid avi ad she'yigmar kol ha'parsha kula. And you're supposed to interpret. Doresh means to interpret. It has the connotation of taking psukim, mikra, and darshaning them. In other words, subjecting them to the rules of Torah Shebal Peh. So it's a combination of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. Where Doresh, we explicate from the words of Aram Yovid, end of the Parsha, and the language of Chiyigmar Kala Parsha Kula. The entire Parsha is very important. So, of course, already there's an interesting question to raise. Number one, what is the point of this Matcha B'Gnusim Asayim B'Shevach? Is it just a way of accentuating how happy we are because of the achievements that we have attained, notwithstanding humble beginnings? So it's a way of emphasizing even further our progress and therefore the degree of Hakar Satov that we owe the Rabbanu Shalom, or is it something more than that, which we'll try to develop? The second question, of course, is why do we darshan the Parsha of Aram Yovid Avi on this side? The Parsha of Aram Yovid Avi appears, as we'll see in a moment, no, we'll see actually right now, in the Parshas Kisabo, in the very end of the Torah, the end of Devarim. It's Perek Chavav Pasuk Aleph Through Yud Aleph. It's on page 4 of these Makoros. The Torah says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you bring the first fruits, the Bikurim, so you should make a proclamation. You should recite the following text. That's what the Torah says. Vayaki Sabal Aretz Ashar Shabal Okech Nasein Lechon Nachalav Yerishtah. When you enter into Eretz Yisrael and you settle there, right? V'lakachta mereshis kol priho adama asher tavi me'artzcha asher shama lokecha nosen v'chal v'samta batena. The obligation is to bring the first fruits of the seven minim, which characterize the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael, to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, to put them in a basket, to bring them to the Mizbeach, v'halachta l'mokom ha-shiyivcha Hashem alokecha l'shaken shim al-shem, u'basa l'koin ha-shiyah b'yami mahem, and you'll come to the Kohen who is presiding that day. There's a debate whether that refers to a Kohen Gadol or it refers to any Kohen. V'amarta elav, and you'll say, higadati hayom, we'll get back to that phrase in a minute, I have proclaimed or I have stated today, l'Hashem alokecha kibasi l'aretz ha-shanish ba-Hashem, that I have come to Eretz Yisrael on this particular day. It's a very strange phrase if you're standing in the middle of Yerushalayim or right at the, you know, Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. What is it necessary to state, you know, the self-evident. He garati hayom, I state today, la'ashem elokecha, I proclaim to the Rabbon Shalom, ki basi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu la'asesanu, that I have come to Eretz Yisrael. So the word higarati, we'll get back to in a couple of minutes, is very perplexing here. What does it mean? It's hard to believe that it just means a statement or a proclamation or an exhortation, because there's nothing new about this. It seems like the word higarati has more to offer. We'll get back to that. And then we're told, v'lokach ha-koin ha-tenem yadecha, v'inicha lefnei mizbach Hashem elokecha, the koin takes this basket of fruit of the Bikurim, and then comes the part that's relevant to us, via Nisa, via Marta, also interesting phraseology, and you answer and you say, we'll discuss that, Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, Arami Oved Avi, very difficult words to translate, big debate among all the Mepharshim how to translate these words. It either means, according to the Rashbam, Arami Oved Avi, a wandering Aramean was my father. We say that very felicitously because we all know the Rashbam's interpretation, a reference to the humble beginnings of Avram Avinu, who was, you know, not born in Eretz Yisrael, although he was bequeathed, right, the legacy of Eretz Yisrael, and he was wandering, right, around. You know, he was told Lech Lecha. Only later did he come into Eretz Yisrael. So Arami Obed Avi, and eventually by Yerid Mitzrayim. According to the Ibn Ezra and the Sfarno, the words Arami Obed Avi are reference to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was wandering around because he was kind of exiled from Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Canaan, and then he spent all those years, you know, in Aram with, you know, his treacherous relative, you know, future father-in-law, or then father-in-law, Laban, right, and eventually by Yered Mitzrayma. So either there's a reference to the humble beginnings of Avram Avinu, right, who founded the nation, or Yaakov Avinu, who was the Bechir Ha'avos upon the name, of course, Kal Yisrael refers to him, right, Yaakov Yisrael, or, as the Haggadah understands it, we'll get back to this, and Rashi, and the Mechilta, it doesn't refer to Avram or to Yaakov, it refers to Bikesh Laban Lakor as Hakol, and the way to interpret the Psukim are not my father, either Avram or Yaakov, was a wandering Arami, but rather Arami, Laban Harami, right, Oved Avi, tried to destroy my father, tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu, right, and Vayered Mitzrayma, but it didn't happen that way. The Rabbon Shalom intervened, and eventually he went to Mitzrayim, and this is part of the backstory for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayogar Sham Bim Seimaat, Vayisham Lagoyim, Atzum Varav, Vayareo Sam HaMitzrim, Vayanunu, Vayitnu Aleinu Avodakasha, Vayitzak Al Hashem Elokeinu, and so on and so forth. This is the Parsha that is referred to in the Mishnah, that we are Doresh, the Parsha of Arami, Oved Avi, the entire Parsha. What's striking about it is, why? We have plenty of psukim in the Torah about Yetzias Mitzrayim in a much more frontal way, right? We'll read them in the Kriyas HaTorah on the holiday of Pesach, right? The psukim especially, you know, the beginning of all of Shmos is really dealing with Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Especially the psukim in the psukim dealing with the Makos, right, in Va'era and in Bo, and especially the psukim in Bo, Yetzias Mitzrayim, to the end of the Torah, to a totally different context, the bringing of Bikurim, to read about Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the Haggadah, somebody asked me this question yesterday, but I think it's an important question. Why is it when we tell the story of the Exodus that we actually quote so few psukim? But there's so much to quote in the Bible itself, the Dvar Hashem. So why are we telling the story? We do make references to psukim. We talk about, you know, the obligation to tell the story and the different categories of children, right? The Chacham and the Rasha, and the Tam and the Neir de Elishol, and we have psukim, right, which establish, you know, that we're supposed to be addressing each one of them. We do have a few psukim here and there, right? Matzal Shema, Pesach Al Shema, Maral Shema, but by and large, we tell this story as a narrative, basically flexibly. We're obligated to tell the story with the right ingredients and the right order. That's why it's a seder. Right? There are four kosos, which also organize the telling of the story. There's a halel, which is split up in two, that organizes the story. The story is very calibrated. It's very organized. there are ingredients which are indispensable to this story. But, having said that, the way that the story is told is intended to be very flexible. As the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos, we'll read it in a minute, Lefi tzachus loshon hamesaper. The person who's telling the story has a lot of input. He gets to determine, right, how he wants to tell the story. Obviously, he's supposed to take his audience into account. The Chacham, the Rasha, the Yodei Lashon, the Tam. Right, the Rambam in the beginning of the seventh parak of Hilchos Chametz Matzah says this very, very clearly as well. Right, in Sefer Mitzvos, he emphasizes the flexibility for the Mesaper. In Mishnah Torah, he also emphasizes the need to take into consideration your audience. But the point is that mostly this story is told orally as a story, right, according to the experience and perspective of the storyteller, right, so that it will be accepted and have impact on the audience. Mostly we're not reading psukim, and that's very intentional, because it's supposed to be a reflection of personal experience, and there's supposed to be, therefore, personal input and flexibility, notwithstanding, as I say, the need for all these ingredients. The one exception, pretty much, to that is the Parsha of Arami Ovid. Not the psukim in Bo, not the psukim in Va'era, not the Shira, you know, which comes afterwards, B'Shalach, none of that. All the way in the end of Dvarim, in the context of Mikra Bikurim, where, for some reason also, that's the other side of the puzzle, right, when you bring the first fruits in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden there's a history lesson called Mikra Bikurim. There you really do read the text. You don't darshan the text when you tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim at the time of Mikra Bikurim. There it's Mikra, it's called Mikra Bikurim. Right? We talk about whether you bring, maybe Vena Kore. Kore means to read. The person who reads is reading a text. Indeed, V'yonisa V'yamarta, Chazal say, number one, that this should be read B'loshon HaKodesh, the text of Mikra Bikurim. Typically, when the text doesn't matter per se, it's the content of the text, so you have the flexibility of translating it. Right? One of the Mishnah says in Sotah, Lamed Beis, that one of the things that are B'loshon HaKodesh are Mikra Bikurim, because it's a text. Therefore, it's a Mikra, it's a Kriya. It's fascinating that on Pesach, this plays such a role. This text, which is a Mikra, in the context of Bikurim, and why still remains to be explained. But when it comes to the Haggadah, on the one hand, it's the biggest text that we have, that we read, but we darshan it, Bidoresh Kula. So why do we choose this text of all texts? Why do we choose a text that's so far from the event, that sees it as history, that is itself in its own context a Mikra, when we're kind of avoiding Mikra? Even this Mikra we're darshaning, but still it's the largest stretch of psukim that we have. Why are we doing any and all of this? Matka b'gnusim asayin b'shebach, v'doresh barami avid avi, ad shi yigmar, kola parsha kula. This emphasis on kola parsha kula is another part of the mystery. The Gemara then goes on to elaborate this. When the Mishnah says, matka b'gnus asayin b'shebach, and then it says Vidoresh Mirami Avidabi Achiv Markalaparsha Kula. So on the surface, one would interpret that what this means is the Mishnah is telling us two different directives. Number one is, in the story of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, you should begin, by acknowledging, humble beginnings, with Messiah B'Shevach, and then you end with the crescendo of, the tremendous hashgacha of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And, in addition to that, v'doresh me'arami obadabi ad sheyigmar kol haparsha kula. And then the Gemara goes on and says, what is this matcha b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach? So the Gemara says, matcha b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach, my b'gnus, what is it? Rav amar metchila ovdei avodazara hayu avoseinu. It goes back to the time of Avram Avinu, right, and the revolution in world history that he wrought, the father of monotheism, turning his back on his father's culture and so on. That's Matril Bignos. Ushmul Amar Avadamayinu, that it refers to closer history, the history of Yitzias Mitzrayim itself in a narrower way. Avadamayinu Laparo Bimitzrayim. That's Matril Bignos. The impression that you get is, from this Gemara at least, is that when the Mishnah said, that the way to read the Mishnah is, first you do Matril Bignos and Misayim B'Shevach. The Gemara is going to tell you that there's a debate between Rav and Shmuel whether or not that means Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah, a broader history and a theological emphasis, or is it more on a political servitude emphasis and a narrower history? That's the Matril Bignos and Misayim B'Shevach, and it has nothing to do with V'Doresh Arami Ovidami. That's the Matril Bignos and Misayim B'Shevach. Then comes the V'Doresh Me'arami Oved Ovid. However, what's fascinating is, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, in addition to the questions, the objective questions I'm asking, why, if we're mostly not trying to be stratified by texts, why Dafka this text so much later on, and V'Doresh? But in addition, the Rambam, if you look carefully, obviously read this Mishnah in a very subtly different, but importantly different way. And if you look at it, there are numerous things that emerge. So look at Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet. Then we'll go back to Aleph Lev. The second entry in number 3. So the Rambam says, V'tzarech l'hatchil b'genus l'sayim b'shevach. And you have to understand is that the Rambam, who's the great codifier of Jewish law, as we all know, right, he undertook this monumental enterprise to codify the entire totality of Jewish law. So, we're greatly in his debt. It's almost inconceivable to think of the history of Jewish law without the Rambam's, contribution. Everybody since the Rambam has benefited, immeasurably from what he did, and he gets the credit as the original great codifier. But it's also important to realize, even though it's obvious, that the Rambam, as a codifier, was first and foremost an interpreter. In other words, how he codifies reflects how he read the Mishnah, how he read the Talmud. So students of the Talmud and of the Rambam are always on the lookout for the Rambam's interpretation. And this is a great example of it. So the Rambam says, V'tzarech l'hatchil b'genus l'sayim b'shevach. So far, nothing to, talk about. That's just what the Mishnah says. Except then, the Rambam said, does numerous subtly interesting things. Ketzad, for example, matchil u'mesaper, he begins, right, and he tells, first of all, uses the language of mesaper. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shebetchila hayu avosenu b'meitarach u'melifanav, kofrin v'toin, Achar Hevel, the Rambam elaborates on Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah. The road from Achar Avodah Zarah, originally everybody was following this meaningless, lifestyle, right? U'mesayim b'dasa emes, and we conclude with the true religion, Shekirvanu ha-makom lo, which the Rabbanu Shalom has, brought us approximate to. B'hivdi lanu minatoim, v'kirvanu li'yichudo, beautiful language of the Rambam. The Rebbeinu Sholem has, distinguished us from the other nations. He's brought us close, not only to serving him, but even to a sophisticated appreciation and understanding of theology, li'ichudo, yichud Hashem. It's already something strange here. How do we paskin in the discussion between Rav and Shmuel whether Matkilim Gnas and Saim L'Shabach refers to Mitchila of Avodah Zarah or Avodah Mitzrayim L'Par B'Mitzrayim? How do we paskin? Everybody knows the Haggadah.
We do both.
We do both. But in the Gemara, it sounds like we really paskin like Avodah Mayinu. Which do we do first?
Avodah Mayinu.
Avodah Mayinu. How does the Rambam say it? It sounds like we do both, even though the Gemara sounds like it's a machlokes. It sounds like, according to the Rambam, the first one that we do is Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. If you look at the Rambam's Haggadah, by the way, in the back of the Yad HaChazaka after Yechus Chametz HaMatzah, he too has Avada Mayinu first. So it's interesting that notwithstanding his own Haggadah, there was no text of the Haggadah that I'm aware of that ever had Mitzchila of the Avada Zarah first. The Rambam leaves the impression that you begin with Mitzchila of the Avada Zarah. But then he says something even more perplexing, V'chein, Matchil Umodia Shavada Mayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim. This is partly the answer to the question, but it raises the question further. Do you begin with... It sounds in the Gemara like there's a debate, and it's one or the other. The Rambam, and what we do, our practice, is to do both. Right? So at least then you could argue, as some of the Mefarshim did, that what the Gemara is really, really arguing about is the order. But even then you have a problem with the Rambam, because he begins with Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah, right? Which, by the way, chronologically, of course, is prior. But then, instead of saying the Acharkach, Omer Avodah Mayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim, which also isn't true, he says instead, the Chein Matchil, and you also begin, there are two beginnings. Isn't two beginnings a contradiction in terms? Not really, but why would you formulate something as two beginnings and especially reverse the actual order? Umodia, Shavana Mayinu L'Par B'Mitzrayim, B'chol HaRa Shegemalanu, Messayim B'Nisim B'Niflo, Shenasalanu B'Cheiruseinu. But here's where it gets even more interesting, and the Rambam adds one word that the Mishnah doesn't have, V'hu Sheyidrosh Me'arami Ovidaviyad Sheyigmar Kala Parsha. Apparently the Rambam did not read the Mishnah, even despite the fact that the Gemara says what it says. He didn't read the Mishnah saying, you start with Gnusayim B'Shevach, that's about Avodah Mayinu and Betchila Ovde Avodah Zarah, and then you darshan Arami Oved Avi. Rather, he read the word Vit, he had the same gersa that we had in the Mishnah. But by saying, you know, Vehu, the Rambam is interpreting. The Rambam is telling you, and by the way, the din of Matchilin Bignus and Messiah and B'Shevach, this, you know, sharp, you know, contrasting presentation, humble beginnings, you know, to incredible spiritual attainment, that itself, right, is reflected by the parsha, the darshaning of the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi. In other words, according to the Rambam, Arami Ovid Avi is even more central and prominent than we thought. Moreover, he then adds, and this is consistent, but again, chiddush, V'chol ha-mosif umarich bidrash parsha zu, harezo b'shubach. Now the Mishnah says that kol ha-mesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, whoever tells the story of b'tzias Mitzrayim this night, harezo b'shubach. It's very praiseworthy. It doesn't say anywhere, not in the Mishnah, not in the Gemara, that whoever is excessively involved in darshaning Arami Ovid Avi, that he's Meshubach. If you look at the Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph 3, in the beginning, so the Rambam says Mitzvah Seishol Torah L'Saper B'Nisim V'Niflo Shenaslav Hasein, same word L'Saper, right? Which right Matchil L'Saper, okay? B'Leil Chamish Asa B'Nisan Shenemar Zachar Sayom Azay Sheitzasim Mitzrayim. Look at the end of the text of Halacha Aleph V'Chol Amarich B'Dvarim She'iru V'Shahayu Harezo Meshubach. That's consistent with the Mishnah. We know that. We say in the Haggadah. Kolambar b'lisapter yes Mitzrayim harezo meshubach. But the Rambam added a new harezo meshubach. One that focuses on darshaning Arami Ovid Avi, which gives Arami Ovid Avi, obviously, much greater prominence. Again, later on in Perek Ches, just one more second, Halacha Gimel, number 4, the Rambam says, Bizman hazeh, Eina Omer Bahalaila Azekulo Tzlish in the Karp, that's not for us. Umatcha Bignus, the Kore Ad Shigomer Drash Parshas Arami Ovid Avi Kula. He repeats it again in Perek Ches. And here it doesn't say Matcha Bignus and the Sign B'Shevach, even though you do, but Matcha the Kore Ad Shigomer, once again implying, as is consistent with what he said in Zayin Dalid, that Matcha Bignus and the Sign B'Shevach is contained already in Arami Oved Avi. So the Rambam has done several things to project even greater importance to Arami Oved Avi Parsha. Number one, he's included it in Matchil Misayim. Number two, he has said Kolamar Bahareza Neshubach. And number three, he's basically put Mitchilov de Avonazar and Avonamayinu Leparo, Vechei Matchil, as being connected to the section of Arami Oved Avi. You had a question?
If Arami Oved Avi refers to Avram Avinu, then I understand why the Rambam mentions Mitchilov de Avodah Zarah Yovaseinu. Because then there's a much more direct connection.
Very good. Right. We'll get to it. So there's something obviously going on here with the Rambam. And the question is what? Oh. So let's take a step back for a moment. And look at the Parsha Bikurim for a minute, and especially the Rambam's language when he talks about the mitzvah Bikurim. So that's number six. Sefer Mitzvot L'Rambam, Mitzvot Aseh Kuf Lamed Beis. And again, if we're very sensitive to the language, what we're going to see is that there are a couple of elements in the mitzvah. Remember, the Rambam is now not writing about Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. He's writing about Bikurim, but we'll see that just as he is projecting Bikurim, you know, more centrally in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too he is projecting themes of the Seder and Yetzias Mitzrayim in Bikurim. Surely that can't be a coincidence. HaMitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis, Hishat Sivanu. Now again, remember that the mitzvah to say this Parsha of Arami Oved Avi, as I say, is called Mikra Bikurim. But when the Rambam characterizes it, he calls it Lesaper Tovosav Asher Heitivlanu V'Hitzil Osanu. Lesaper, of course, is the same word that he uses when he talks about Matchilim Bignus and Misayim B'Shevach. Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah uses the same expression, Lesaper. Of course, Lesaper is a fine word to use, but given the juxtaposition, right, we also know that it has a connotation of Sipur, right, not just Zechira, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then, even better, the Rambam adds, Matchil, right, remember Matchil Bignus, Misayim B'Shevach, Matchil B'Inyan Yaakov Avinu, Misayim B'Avodas HaMitzrim, Ba'anusam Osanu, right? So the Rambam actually uses phrases, Misaper, Matchilin U'Misayimim, phrases which do not appear in the Talmud, in other literature regarding the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Now again, it's very easy to miss it. There's nothing wrong with using those words. But once we know that the Rambam has projected Mikra Bikurim on the night of the Seder very centrally, then we look back at Mikra Bikurim and we hear language which reminds us of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, surely that's not something we want to ignore. And the Rambam emphasizes that the point of Mikra Bikurim is l'shabcho al kol zeh, l'saper tavosav, u'l'shabcho al kol zeh, u'l'bakash min u'l'hat min abrocha kishiyavi ha-bikurim. And then he says, hu amar yisale, v'anisa v'amart l'fnei Hashem elokecha, arami oved avi, u'mashe ba'achar zeh, min ha-parsha kula. This phrase, min ha-parsha kula, again, is a phrase, of course, that echoes the language of the Mishnah in Psachim, that the Rambam repeats in Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet and in Perek Ches Halacha Gimel. So the point is that the Rambam seems very quietly, subtly, but very powerfully to be connecting Mikra Bikurim, right, and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim in both directions. And that's a very strong and powerful thing. If you look at Sefer Mitzvos, Kuf Nun Zayin, number 5, also the language of the Rambam, it's interesting that there are some differences between that and what the Rambam writes in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz Matzah Halacha Aleph. Here, the Rambam's emphasis is on Shevach and Hodah. HaMitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, Hishat Sivanu L'Saper B'Tzias Mitzrayim, B'Leo Chamish Asar B'Tchilas HaLayla, Kifi Tzachos Lashon HaMesaper, what I mentioned before, according to the, you know, flexible, capacity agenda, whichever it is, of the person who's telling the story. The Chomashi Yosef, the Mamar, Biyarech, Advarim, Bhagdolas, Masha Osa Lanu Hashem, Umasha Solimon of Mitzrayim, Me'ova Bechomos, Vechloka Hashem Nikmasenu, Ubahodo, Slo Yisbarach, Almasha Gimalonu, Bechasadav, Yia Yoser Tov. The more you speak about the element of Hodah, admitting and acknowledging and thanking and being Meshabeach, the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the better. The Rambam doesn't say this exactly in Yad HaChazaka. There he emphasizes telling the details. He doesn't say that the goal is Hoda'ah and Shema. That he says in Sefer Mitzvot. But remember that when he talks about Mikra Bikurim, he also used the expression L'saper Tovosav U'L'Shabcho. So once again, the language of the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot about Tzipri Tzias Mitzrayim and Mikra Bikurim are almost identical. A coincidence? Methinks not. The word Haggadah, I mentioned, this doesn't come from the Rambam, but it does come even from an earlier source. Again, if you look at the Psukim in Mikra Bikurim, again, Pasuk Gimel is the kind of the defining Pasuk. You're going to come to the Kohen, v'amarte love, and say to him, now comes the text, right, which you're, the first word, the first verb, is something, right, to pay attention to. He garati hayom l'Hashem elokecha, ki bossi ala aretz hashar nishba Hashem l'avoseinu l'aseisla. It seems not only like an anticlimax, but it just doesn't, it's hard to decipher. Right, you're about, you can almost hear the drum roll, right? This is the proclamation that's going to be made. What is it? He garati hayom. I assert today that I have, that I'm here. What does that mean? So if you look at Targum Yerushalmi and Targum Yonasan ben Oziel also has this, is number 12. The Tesi Levas Kahana Diyava Memana Kohen Rab, it's also Kiddush, Biyomei thinks it's Kohen Gadol. You come to the Kohen, you bring this to the Kohen, the great Kohen on his day, right? The Temrun Lei, and you say to him, the Amarte Elav, now comes the word, Higadati, right? Odinan vishabchina. Yom hadein kadam Hashem aloka arum alinan la'ara dekayim membered Hashem lavon l'mitan la. So what the Targum says is that the word higadati doesn't mean I assert. It means I acknowledge by means of, right, praise, right, and vidui. Odinan v'shabchina. And those are the words that the Rambam uses in Sefer Mitzvot. What do we call the text, right, that guides us on the night of Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim? The Haggadah, right? V'higadata l'bimcha. So there, unlike in the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, right, the, you could say higadata means tell. Again, Sefer Mitzvot, that's the main pasuk. It's interesting just to note that in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz Matzah Halacha Aleph, the Rambam quotes the pasuk of Zachar Sayom Hazeh Sheitzas Mitzrayim as the main source for Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvah Seishal Torah, this is a Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, look at number 3. Mitzvah Seishal Torah, L'saper B'nisan B'niflo Shanasla B'seinu B'mitzrayim B'lo Chamishasa B'nisan Shenemar Zachar Sayom Hazeh Sheitzas Mitzrayim. The main pasuk of the obligation of Sipur, it's very controversial because it doesn't seem that that's the pasuk that the Rambam should have quoted. Should have quoted probably one of the other psukim, but Zachar Sayom Hazeh Sheitzasam Mitzrayim. Later on, he also wants you to know, how do you know Minayin Shebelel Chamishasa? How do you know it's the night of the 15th? Talmud Lomar Bigadita Lebincha Bayomahu Leimar Bavurzeh B'Shashiyesh Matzumar Munachim Lefanecha. The pasuk of Higadat al-Bincha is used by the Rambam here for the timing of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah itself is based on the pasuk, right? Zachar sayom hazeh sheitzasam Yitzrayim. On the other hand, if you look in Sefer HaMitzvos, here the Rambam says, a mitzvah shetzvanu l'saper b'tis Mitzrayim, kivitzachos lashon ha'masaper, as we discussed. And then he says, go down to the fourth line. Va'kasav shaba ala tzibui hazeh, the pasuk that refers to this obligation, hu amaro yisbarach vihigarta lemincha bayom ahu. So here, actually, the Rambam says that vihigarta lemincha is the makar. Later on, he quotes Zakar asayoma sheyitzasa mimitzrayim, but only to tell you that the obligation applies whether or not you have an audience, whether you're alone. Even then, Zakar asayoma sheyitzasa mimitzrayim. So his use of the psukim Zakar and vihigarta differs in Yad HaChazaka and in Sefer Mitzvah. But according to the one in Sefer Mitzvahs, it's vihigarta lebincha. That's the obligation of the Haggadah, right? Higarati hayom, that's the same word that appears in Mikra Bikurin. So again, while it could just mean to tell the story, to assert, if indeed the connotation of Haggadah or Higarati also is Divrei Shevach v'Hodah, which works very nicely with the language of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvahs, and with his Mikra Bikurim, that's another connection between Mikra Bikurim and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'll give another one. There's a discussion in the Baalei Tosfos, Psachim Daf Lamed Vav Beis. We don't have that here on the sheets, but I have to leave something, for extra work. Psachim Lamed Vav Beis, Tosfos and Zvachim, also Daf Kufin Tes of an Aleph, discusses the question whether or not Bikurim were brought only in the Beis HaMikdash and only in the Mishkan at Shiloh, which had a special status, or was Bikurim even brought, when they had what's known as a Bama Gedola, which had special laws to it, in Noven and Gibbon? That's a debate. There's mixed evidence in the Talmudic literature, the Mechilta, the Gemara, and the Rishonim, whether or not in Nov and Gibbon they brought Bikurim. The Baalei Tosfos in Psachim and in Tzvachim of the opinion that they did bring Bikurim in Noven Gibbon. And then there's a whole discussion, really, to bring a korban on a Bama Gedola, typically it has to be a korban tzibur. You can't just bring a korban yachin on a Bama Gedola. So was Bikurim a korban tzibur? Everybody brought Bikurim. People went out into their fields, right? They identified, we know the story of Bikurim, they identified, the first fruits, and they would bring it, with much fuss and fanfare to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So in the Sefer Mitzvahs of Rav Sajagon, Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo discusses this. He says it must be that according to the Baalei Tosfos, even though individuals brought, obviously, Bikurim, nonetheless, because they all brought it roughly at the same time, and it was a big happening, it was bikinufya, it's exactly like Korban Pesach. Just like Korban Pesach is a rule breaker in that it's considered a Korban Tzibur. Was Korban Pesach really a Korban Tzibur? Right? The answer is everybody brought
at once.
All of Klal Yisrael, or the groups within Klal Yisrael, all brought the Korban Pesach with much fuss and fanfare at the same time, and they said Hallel and all these things, but not one korban brought by the entire tzibur. So that's why it has kind of a mixed status, but the Gemara says it's considered a korban tzibur with respect to these issues because it was all brought together b'kinufya. So Rabbi Yeruchim Fishel Perlo doesn't discuss any of the other things that I'm discussing now. Just completely independently, which is better, in the context of Bikurim, he just makes his point. He says, obviously, the Baalei Tosfos, for them to think that Bikurim was brought in the Bama Gedola, they had to think that Bikurim has the same kind of status as Korban Pesach. It's considered a Korban Tzibur because it's brought Bikinufya. Wow. That is a very powerful connection. The Ibn Ezra suggests that the words Vianisa Viamarta, right, which precede the Mikra Bikurim, Vianisa Viamarta, imply a kind of responsive recitation, or at least a question, an answer, like a dialectical reading of the Parsha. Vianisa Viamarta. Right. Where else do we find a dialectical reading of the Parsha? According to the Rambam, in Perek Zayin, right, of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, I think this one I put down there. The Rambam explains what is unique about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Just one second. So the Rambam says that mitzvah lo dia labanim afil lo shalu shenemar vigarta labincha lefidato shaben aviv malamdo and so on. Mitzvah klaso shinui kdei shir abanim v'yishalu v'yomru, right? And so on. There's a very famous discussion. Reb Chaim Mibrisk wanted to clarify what the differences are between what we call Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which applies every single day, right, and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he zeroes in on these Rambams at the beginning of Perek Zayin of Chasam Tamatza, and one of the points that he tries to explicate is that the dialectic, the discussion, the question-answer mode, right, the responsive, let's say, a character, is one of the things that distinguishes Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim from Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's interesting that Mikra Bikurim, Via Nisa, Via Marta, has the same kind of mode, at least according to the Ibn Ezra. Via Nisa, Via Marta, according to the Abarbanel, has a different connotation. It has a connotation of Shira and Hallel. He thinks that V'anisa V'amarta is a language which implies great simcha that is expressed through Shira V'Hallel. Of course, what else requires Shira V'Hallel? As we know, Korban Pesach. In addition to the regular status of Shira that any Korban had, it seems as if, Kedusha Griz discusses this, it seems as if there's a special din of Shira and a special din of Hallel in Korban Pesach. And of course we know that on the night of the Seder, based on Sekhet Sofrim and the Yerushalmi, the people who daven Basuk Sfard, right, they say Hallel at night, which is very unusual. Certainly we say it at the Seder, and it's broken up in a different way. There's a special din of Hallel on the night of the Seder. So the equation between Mikra Bikurim, on the one hand, and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Korban Pesach, right, seems to be growing, seems to be reinforced. I'll give another example of it, and that is not according to the Rambam, as it happens, but according to the Ramban, a very remarkable Ramban. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvos, okay, counted all the 613 commandments, and then the Ramban, you know, this is what makes life so exciting. The Ramban, scoured and scrutinized the Rambam's, rules and his list, with a magnifying glass or microscope. And then he, wrote his critique. He wrote his analysis of the Rambam. So he felt that the Rambam omitted, certain mitzvos, some lavin, some essen, that he also counted some that he shouldn't have. According to both of them, the system has to balance out at the 613. So if you're going to take some out, you have to put some in. So one of the ones that he put in was Birchas HaTorah. According to the Ramban, the Rambam should have, one of the 613 mitzvos, in addition to learning Torah, is making a bracha on Torah. And that's very unusual. Brachos typically are not Doraisa, with the exception of Birchas HaMazon, probably. Most brachos, almost all of the brachos are not Doraisa. And certainly a bracha that accompanies a performance doesn't usually have the status of an independent mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag. But the Rambam, look here at number 7. Mitzvah tezayin shenitztavinu lehodos lishmo yizbarach b'chol es shenikr b'torah. We should praise the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Every time we learn Torah, Ala Tova Gadola, the great good fortune that we have, She'asa lanu b'siso Torah seino elav, Hodianu amasim aritzuyim lepanav shebehem nimchal chay olam haba. The opportunity to learn Torah, the guidance in terms of values, right, and directives how to lead our lives that will be meaningful, that will lead us to, right, being worthy of chay olam haba. The kasher nitzavinu bebracha achar kol achila kein nitzavinu bezu. Just as there's a bracha, you know, that is daraisa, birchas hamazon, after food, so too the bracha on learning Torah is also daraisa and a mitzvah bichneat. So notice how the Rambam characterizes it: lahodos lishmo yisrael. Say it's part of the obligation of lahodos, right, to praise ala tova hagadola. What does he compare it to? The ultimate birchas shevach behoda, v'achalta v'savata, right, v'erachta. Okay, so then the Rambam goes on. He talks about the relation to the birchas hamazon. And then in the very end, the last two lines, in the middle of the second last line, the Ein Roi L'Nosa Mitzvah Achasam Akriya, the Ramban says, I know what you're going to say. Even if I'm right, right? And it's based on the Pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Povu Godel Alokeinu, which is Shevach and Hoda. The Ramban says, I know what you're going to say, even if I'm right, that this is a Doraisa obligation, which isn't so simple. Why should it be counted as a separate mitzvah and minyan tayyad? Why don't we just include it in the mitzvah? It should be, you know, a detail in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. When you learn Torah, you have to make a bracha, right? Why should that be an independent mitzvah? So listen to this. Ein roilim nosa mitzvah achas makriya. Says, don't think that we should count this, integrate it with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as one. Kimo, of all the examples that he could think of, the Rambam thought of two other examples. Shemikra bikurim, Eina nimna achasim hava asan, the sipur yitzias mitzrayim imachilas haPesach. A very powerful line. The Ramban says, I think there are three cases where there's a recitation, an accompanying articulation, right, which goes with a mitzvah, but has independent value. Right. The one he's talking about here is Talmud Torah and Birchas HaTorah, which he says is Birchas Shevach Ba'adok, Yishem Hashem Ekra Hovu Godel Elokeinu, right? The other one is Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, which he connects, interestingly, with Achilas HaPesach, particularly, right? This is an interesting issue because Marsha already says, ask the question, it's an earlier question, but Marsha's like, why, Om Rabbi Gamliel, Kol Shalom Ar Gimel Dvarim Meilu B'Pesach, Layamtze Dechavasa, where do we find that, you know, an accompanying recitation is ma'ake? But we do. Or at least it has its own mikra bikurim. Not ma'ake, but it has its own status. And the third one is mikra bikurim to bikurim. Another parallel which links mikra bikurim. And what is mikra bikurim's role in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? V'doresh kalaparsha v'kalamarech hareza meshubach. Right, it's actually the role of Talmud Torah. Okay, let me highlight this in another way. Getting back to the Rambam, the next Rambam. So the background of this is not something we can go into now because it's a topic in its own right. But the short part of the story is that the Mishnah says in Masechet Pesachim, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, the Mishnah lists the kind of ingredients that you can use for matzah, the five grains, and it also lists certain situations where those five grains will be disqualified. If they're macholos asuros or they're isuri hanab, there are certain macholos asuros, like you can have five grains, but they can be disqualified for use in matzah. So one of the things that's listed in the Mishnah on Lamed Hei Amud Aleph is tevel. If you have untithed produce of Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat tevel without being mafresh trumas and isros. If you do, it's a very severe prohibition, violation. So the Mishnah says, if you eat, you know, tebel, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with tebel. Now, if you take the grains and you work mafresh trumas and isros in Eretz Yisrael, but you make sparkling charedi matzah or whatever, shatzer matzah, strites, whatever matzah you like, right? Since it's tebel, you're not allowed to use that. If you try to fulfill the mitzvah, you're not yotze. If you look at the Gemara in Pesachim, The Gemara is very perplexed about this and goes back and forth to try to explain why not. Now, everybody agrees that Matzah Shel Tevel is a violation of Tevel. But maybe you can violate the Tevel, but still you can fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah. So the Gemara says it has to do with the problem of Iser Chalal Iser, whether two prohibitions can come one on top of the other, Chametz and Tevel, and you have to have the potential of Iser Chametz. There's a whole story in the Gemara. The short part of the story is that the Ramban, in his Chidushim on Masechet Pesachim, says, based on this analysis of the Gemara, even though this is a law that appears in the Mishnah, I don't think that Lahalacha, we paskin like this, because the way that the Gemara explains it, it's based on certain rulings that we don't accept Lahalacha. And therefore, even though, of course, you shouldn't do this, it would be terrible to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with tevel, but if you did it, right, it would work. However, the Rambam, who agrees with the Ramban in these other matters, the details are not important for the moment, has the following halacha. Here the Rambam is quoting the Mishnah. Well, that would seem to be uncontroversial, except that the Ramban proved that this particular Mishnah's ruling shouldn't be lahalacha, so it is controversial. So the Rambam says, "Ein adam yotzei chavasa b'achilas matzah shi'asura lo." You don't fulfill the obligation of matzah if you eat a matzah which is prohibited. Kigon, for example, she'achal tevel, o ma'aser rishon shel nitro chumaso, o shegozla, he stole it, it's tevel. We're going to zero in on the tevel. The gzela one doesn't appear in the Talmud Bavli either, doesn't Yerushalmi, not in Bavli. So the Rambam paskins that eating tevel, you don't fulfill the mitzvah, like the Mishnah. Except that that's a problem, because the Rambam's psak on these other matters, yisr chal yisr, etc., he shouldn't have been led to this conclusion. However, the Rambam then adds a line, the next line, which also doesn't appear in the Talmud, because the Rambam is trying to explain this halacha on a different basis. But what is that basis? Zakla. Kol she mevarchin ala birchas hamazon, yotze bai dei chavaso. Kol she ein mevarchin ala birchas hamazon, ein yotze dei chavaso. Very remarkable Rambam. Nobody knows where he gets it from. The Rambam basically says that anything, any food that you eat that doesn't trigger the obligation of Birchas Hamazon, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with. And since tevel is prohibited, right? So we don't say about it, even though you ate and you enjoyed, but according to the Rambam holds that you don't make a Birchas Hamazon on tevel. Not everybody agrees. Some people think you don't make a mezuman on tevel, but you will make a Birchas Hamazon. But the Rambam's own view in Hilchos Brachos, you don't make a Birchas Hamazon on tevel because what, you're being Meshabeach, the Rabbon Shalman, as you're eating Macholos Asuros? That's the Rambam's thinking. So, if you don't make a Birchas Hamazon, says the Rambam, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. What does matzah have to do with Birchas Hamazon? Right? Earlier, we read the Gemara. Let's go back to number two for a moment. Right? The Gemara said that, Matel Begnus, Messiah B'Shabach, fine. Then the Gemara told the second line, Amalei Rav Nachman L'Daru Avde. Right, Rav Nachman said to Daru, his servant, Avda D'Mapik Le'Mari L'Cheirus. If a Eved is Yotze L'Cheirus, right, V'Yoyv Le'Kasbu D'Hava, and his master, now soon to be former master, right, gives him gold and silver on the way out, does he royally rewards him? My boy, the main Marlay. What should the Eved's response be? Gemara says, Amarlay, ba'i la'duye ulajbuche. Those words again. He has to acknowledge, thank, and praise him. Amarlay, so the Gemara says, patrasa milomar manishtano. Okay. You don't have to sing or say manish, meaning you've got it. You figured it out. Right, you have deep understanding of what's going on here. You can skip manishtana. Not so sure. Maybe you had a whole room of children, and maybe it was a big time saver. Pasach mi'amar avadamayinu. He couldn't skip avadamayinu, mind you. That's interesting too. What's going on here? What we have recurring in all these makaros is that the common denominator in Sipratis Mitzrayim, in Mikra Bikur, In the Ramban's equation of, you know, Talmud Torah, Birchas Hamazon, Mikra Bikurim, Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim, what we have in all these sources is the idea that Sefer Tzias Mitzrayim, of course, is not just about telling a story, and it's also not just about superficial appreciation. It's about a deep Hakaras HaTov, which is based on a very profound appreciation of Hashgachas Hashem and Emunah Hashem. Okay, let's go back to how we started. Matcha b'gnusa m'sayim b'shebach isn't just the contrast. The Rambam in Mor Nebuchim, again, in the context of Mikra Bikurim, this is in Perek Gimel, Chelek Gimel, sorry, Perek Lamedes, he talks about Mikra Bikurim, speaks about the humility that is required in Mikra Bikurim. You put the bag on your shoulder. V'yeshmo ha'akara b'chazdei Hashem u'na'amo, much like his language of Sefer HaMitzvos, a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, she'yeda ha'adam ki min ho'avoda she'yizkar b'yimei mitzukaso bizman she'yirvachlo. Ram says something very important. Because part of Avodas Hashem that people don't realize is that in times of success and rejoicing, you always have to remember your humble beginnings. V'inyan zeh mudgash b'Torah harbei, v'zacharta ki evan ha'yisa, referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. She'esh lachush min amidos hayiduos. But then he goes on to say, that's why we have to remember the Makos, and that's why we have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. Another connection. Shehein ha'agados ha'ma'amtos nechonos ha'navua ha'gmul v'ha'onesh. What the Rambam is trying to tell us, again, in Mikra Bikurim here, but he connects it to Yitzias Mitzrayim, is that laudue uliash buche is not a superficial, oh, somebody does me a favor, thank you very much. That's, you know, we live in a thank you very much world. People just say it and they don't really think about it much. But in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, we have modim. The concept of hoda'ah in halacha is based on distance and appreciation. The Torah speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim in Mikra Bikurim, long, long after Yitzias Mitzrayim, right, and its impact seemingly has worn off. Right, everybody's in Eretz Yisrael now, enjoying, bringing the first fruits, and we're supposed to go back to our humble beginnings in Yitzias Mitzrayim, basically to proclaim, right, Matzchilim Bignus M'Simon B'Shevach, that, you know, we're not here in a natural way. We're here in a way that goes back to the beginning of our history, Arami Ovid Avi, whether it's Avram Avinu, and you're correct, Nitzchila Ovde Avodah Zarah is Avram Avinu, or Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael, or the story of Laban. Matchilim Bignus Mesayim B'Shevach isn't just to make the Mesayim B'Shevach greater, it's to give perspective to understand what Shevach and Hodah really is. It's not just a stimulus kind of, or stimulus provoked, thank you. It's a perspective on history and on purpose, which basically demands that you defy the more, you know, cause and effect, natural understanding of history. Right? All the way at the time of Havas, Bikurim, to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim in such a way, Matchilim Bignus Mesayim B'Shevach Arami Ovid Avi, and then to go into the detail by Yanunu, by Areo Asanu, they were not Dorish it, but right, to do it responsibly. Vanisa V'Amarta, he got it Ti Hayom, like the parish of the Targum, meaning Hoda'a and Shevach is, I'm here, right, it's, it seems like a very natural and very lofty existence, right, but I acknowledge he got it the hayom, shevach v'hoda, how I came to be here. And the more distant, frankly, the more it reflects that we're not dealing with a stimulus, short-term hakaras hatov. You gave me a present, thank you very much. To quote the psukim in Shemos, in the immediate aftermath, or describing Yitzias Mitzrayim, would, number one, encumber kifitzachos l'shono, the experiential part, the personal part, the flexibility needed, you know, to address a particular audience or to tell the story in a way that is meaningful to you. But in addition to that, it's too close to the event. To be able to quote the psukim in Mikra Bikurim way, way, way after, right, when all of that seems like, you know, an irrelevancy or just background history, but to be able to make it something which is higadati hayom, each year, that's a totally different perspective on lo duye and lashbuche. And that's the kind of perspective that we need to cultivate, not only in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. A matzah shel tevel, according to the Rambam, l'shitaso, depends on the criteria of Birkas HaMazon, of Shelach and Hodah. The next, the Rambam, one I think I didn't mention yet, is when the Rambam speaks about Hallel. Right? The Rambam says, right, the Omer, in the Mishnah it says, Lathikach, it explains what the feeling is. The Rambam says you have to say the words, and we do. Lathikach anachnu chayavim lahodos lahalal l'shabeach l'fayar l'hader l'ramim l'gadel l'natzeach. For the Rambam, Hodah and Shebach are expressions of Amuna. And Matkil Mignus Misayim B'Shebach is an expression of Amuna. Especially, correctly, if it starts with Avraham Avinu, Arami Ovid Avi, but even if it's with Yaakov, Arami Ovid Avi, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, Mimolartzecha, Mibeis Avicha. Right, Avraham Avinu was told to leave everything behind, his entire cultural matrix, right? Ela Aretz Asher Areka, the ultimate Emunah. Chazal discussed about the relationship between the Akedah, the Lech Lecha, and this Lech Lecha. Arami Ovid Avi. If it's Lavan, Bikesh Lavan Lakar Sakol, and then you went from there to Yitzias Mitzrayim, you know, to Knisa La'aretz. This perspective on history, La Duya U'La Shvuche, which is a form of Emunah, of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, that's the Yisod of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's what we get from being Doresh Mikra Bikurim. In itself is matchilin and mesayimin, right? In itself is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol amarbe, hareza meshubach. So I think that's also the pshat in the Rambam's form, the tchilah of the Avodah Zarah, and avodim ayinu leparah b'mitzrayim. What the Rambam tells you is, don't think that Yetzias Mitzrayim is about servitude and liberty alone. Really, it's about mitchila, the first tchila. There are two tchilas. The reason it's not a tchila and an acharkach, and the order is reversed in the Rambam, even though it's not reversed in the Haggadah, not in his Haggadah either, because on the one hand, you want to focus on the story and the actual events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what this evening is really all about. Yeah, Barbanel has a comment where he says that, you know, in his parish on the Haggadah, actually, I mentioned his comment on Vanisa Vamarta, that's in his parish on Mikra Bikurim. But in his parish on the Haggadah, he says, the reason we bring in Mikra Bikurim is because in a night of Akaras HaTov, if you want to also remember the other things. Maybe that's true, but I think the real point is that this is a memory and a perspective on Yetzias Mitzrayim Meirachok, from the distance, you know, geographically and historically of many years, which makes it more powerful. I would say less a stimulus-oriented Hakar Sato. Moreover, to the extent that it highlights other Hakar Satovs, the point is that it's rooted in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in the notion of Hashgacha and Emunah. It's Halu Abde Hashem Velo Abde Par. And what the Rambam wanted to emphasize was that even though we're zeroing in on the details of Avada Yimidu Lepar of Mitzrayim, that's what we're going to say first in the Haggadah, the real Hatchala has to be the theological one, Halu Avde Hashem Velo Havde Paro, and therefore it's Mitkila Ovde Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, the Kervanu Amakom, not only Lavodaso, but according to the Rambam, Liichudo. And then the Chein Matchil, because these are two parallel beginnings, because they're the same. You might have thought that one is theological and the other is political, but it's not. The political is important because of the theological. Therefore, it's matchil, the chein matchil, and even though the order in the Haggadah is the narrower story, the background of the original matchil is part of the same background of Arami Oved Avi, and so on. And therefore, both when the Rambam writes about Mikra Bikurim, and when he writes about Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim, especially in Sefer Mitzvos, but also through Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet and these other Ramazan as well, the Rambam is telling us that the Mikra Bikurim role in Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim establishes that Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim isn't just a story, an important story, and a story that requires a stimulus-oriented Shevach or Hakaras HaTov, but it really forces us, right, to fully absorb, right, the perspective of Emuna and of Hashkacha. And that redefines what Tzipor Yetzias Mitzrayim really is. So it's Matkilim Bignus, Masayim Shevach, Vehu Shekore V'Doresh, that requires not only to read Mikra Bikurim, but to darshan it, Adshe Gomer as a Parsha Kula. I wish you all a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, and you should find great meaning in the Haggadah and its Perushim, really a very profound source of Amuna and Adgacha. Thank you. Okay.
I only just came up now, so oh, you're giving me I wish I would have known.